Hello, everybody. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
And I'm Chemda. If you like this show, please subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes, keithandthegirl.com/iTunes. It's very easy to share that, so please go ahead and do it.
Today's guest is Dan Soder.
Hello.
Or as the audience likes to call him, sexy voice Dan Soder.
What's that, girl? You know I've been waiting to come back on this podcast.
It's
thinking like, about you.
It's gross. Boys, it's so gross and awesome.
It's the Boys to Men breakdown voice. Yes. That's what it is. What? Oh, girl, you know I've been waiting to come back on this podcast.
Dan Soder's Twitter, if you want to see what's going on, is your name, Dan Soder, right?
At Dan Soder.
It's that easy. Here's some tweets. I got a tweet today that said, hashtag Veterans Day. Keith Malley is America. Thank you for your service. And I wrote back, that was Monday. Fuck off.
Oh, wow. You know, like a true vet, you lashed out.
Yeah, there's a day to do it.
Yeah.
Thank me on that day.
I mean, you know what?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Dan, good to see you. Happy birthday.
You son of a bitch. It was June 24th.
It doesn't feel real, does it?
Well, it kind of does. I didn't have a father figure, so any man showing me love, I actually try to soak up as much as possible. Could you say it again, and this time with feeling? Let me get it on my phone.
Happy birthday, I guess.
Oh, there it is. Is my dad speaking through you?
You know, Scotticus. I thought this was funny. He tweeted, I'm parked on a parkway. Suck it, comedy.
Okay. Yeah, man. I don't know.
I think everyone appreciates that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, too.
That's a thinker, though. Danny Hatch are on a higher level. Hawaii Governor Neil Abercrombie signed a bill today legalizing, ready for this, in Hawaii, gay marriage.
Oh, it's happening.
And Chemda was planning on getting married in Hawaii, and now it is legal.
Oh, yeah.
So does that mean, there you go.
Yeah, I mean.
Destination wedding. Now all your friends fucking hate you. Good job, Chemda. You blew it. You had a nice wedding planned. Everyone's like, please don't let it pass in Hawaii. I can't float the fucking plane ticket. And everybody's like, guys, new news, Bora Bora.
I'd be right. People are secretly hoping it's a no.
No way.
But not for the reasons you think.
Yeah, you're like New Jersey, here. You know, we'll do it somewhere around here. Maybe I can make it home in time to sleep in my own bed. And now I have to go to an island where none of the locals like us.
Oh, please. When I think about the kind of wedding I want, I thought, like, okay, maybe we need more space, so maybe we should go a little to Long Island. There are trains running to Long Island. First of all, Lauren's like, no, we will not do anything nice in Long Island.
Why?
Yeah, because, like, Lauren is so against Long Island. And then I'm like, that's true. But I know how New Yorkers are. Yeah. I know that, like, if it's more than a cab ride, like, if you can't take a cab home at the end of the night when you're like, fuck it, I'll splurge.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to hate you.
Yeah.
So that's in my mind. I'm going to have a small thing in Hawaii that no one has to come to. And then I'm going to have a party here in New York.
Beautiful.
Right?
Beautiful.
Just take a cab at the end of the night.
Some New Yorkers don't even like it if you're not even on the same subway line.
Right. I know.
You're telling me I got to take the 1, 2, 3. I'm off the 4, 5, 6. Why you get married off the 1, 2, 3?
Right.
But you know what? Go to Hawaii. I say, you go to Hawaii and you keep the confidence of not caring if anyone comes, and then make it look like you're trying to get everyone to come.
So that everyone has to send me a gift.
Yes.
Yes.
You're doubling up on your gifts.
Yes.
Thousands of gay couples living in Hawaii and even more tourists will marry starting December 2nd. Because you need time. You don't want to rush this.
Yeah. Why did you just freak out about December 2nd?
That's my birthday.
Is it? Well, happy birthday / gay marriage and Hawaii Day. Not Alaska. That ain't floating in Alaska.
Oh, happy, my God.
Yeah. Well, that looks like you have to get married in 2 weeks in Hawaii.
You guys, I am a big cheese ball about this. When I first heard about this, I was trying not to cry, but I did cry. I totally cried.
About Hawaii?
Yeah. It was a big deal. It was a big deal that Lauren is from Hawaii and we had planned to do this. And then when I was talking about the details of it, I thought, I was reminded, oh yeah, they don't want us to do that there. And then that was a bummer. And then I was in front of Lauren's parents. I was trying not to cry about it so they don't think that I'm like a big baby about it.
When it comes to my rights.
Yeah. Well, lucky for you, they sacrificed enough people to the volcano that now gays can get married in Hawaii. You just waited it out.
Senators passed the bill 19-4 two lawmakers excused themselves. That's your job. You don't even have to show up. I don't want to be controversial. Because you know they would vote no. They're not voting yes.
I think I would have to do that, if like, especially if I like faked being conservative to get elected in my constituency. Right. And then they're like, gay marriage. I'm like, ah, woo. Yeah, I got to, real quick, I got to take something outside.
I got cramps today. Oh,
I don't like to vote when I'm crampy.
The new pineapples are coming out today. Yeah.
Voting when you're crampy is like going food shopping when you're hungry. You just don't. Bad frame of mind.
But seriously, I really want to get back here and vote later, if possible.
No, that's too bad.
Okay.
Cheers erupted inside and outside the gallery when the vote was taken, and a smattering of boos when Senate President Donna Kim, who voted against the bill, banged her gavel and told members of the public to quiet down. Yes, please, quiet down, yeah. You with rights-like people.
Yeah, hey guys, normal human rights, don't you dare you.
An estimate from a University of Hawaii research says gay marriage will boost tourism $217 million over the next 3 years.
Yeah, Hawaii, a destination place already. Right. Places that people, you know, save up sometimes for years and years, because it's expensive to be there. It's expensive to go there as a tourist. It's expensive to just go, the flight alone. And you can't go over there for the weekend. Yeah. You have to set aside time. Now, with this, you're boosting that kind of place even more.
Yeah.
Just do it for the money, people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
That's like, it totally makes sense. Plus, gay dudes just love taking off their shirts. So it just matches up perfectly.
It's so hot out there.
Yeah, they're just like, you get to take your shirt off. No shoulders.
Yes. On the bad end, a lot of dykes going to be taking off their shirts also.
It's always like this with normal stuff, though. Like, of course it's going to boost tourism for gay marriage to be legal in Hawaii. Yeah. Just like they're finding out now that legal pot in Colorado and Washington is good for the state budget. Where you're like, yeah, these are just normal. You guys didn't figure this stuff out already?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, you don't want to do things like, I don't know, murder is going to be good for the economy. So let's just let that pass.
I think maybe like Detroit, do something extreme. Heroin, legal.
Oh.
I mean, where's it going to go? Who knows? It can't get worse.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to like the new Eminem album? And I ask this because he's so homophobic. And the album, he talks so, first of all, I can't tell if the album's good or not because I don't know if I'm being tricked. He's so fast.
It's great. I think the album's great.
And, but, so what I tell myself so that I could like the album is that he says, he apologizes for all the homophobia. I just didn't catch it. Because do you know what I mean? Not once did I hear him go, hey, all that, by the way, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, all the hate, you know, and when his albums came out and they're so hateful towards gays, I didn't realize that. I was kind of in the same place where I didn't realize how it's dangerous.
Yeah.
To me, it's just, it's funny. And a lot of his shocking stuff, he's doing it to be funny. But you probably are helping a kid get bullied in school for being gay, if we're being honest.
But I think when he makes that music, he doesn't think about the dumb people, how the dumb people are going to read this, because dumb people read stuff wrong all the time.
Yeah, and also we're a controversial show sometimes, you know. Yeah. We say some bullshit that we think is funny. I just, you know, I shat on dykes. We just got the right to get married. And
so
I'm
are
like,
you fine with everything Eminem has said in the past?
I'm not fine with everything anybody says. You know, like you can't just... Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no way that everything that comes out of Dan's mouth is going to be appropriate for me.
Actually, it is. So I'd appreciate
it. Yeah, but I'm in love with you.
But didn't we go through this already? And when he released the Marshall Mathers LP, and now it's 13 years later and people are freaking out again. We've already done this dance.
But there's a big difference between in the last 13 years.
Now there's Kickstarter.
I think we're understanding, you know, It's a little beyond what you're saying.
Saying the effect of what he said.
We're finally talking about states legalizing gay marriage. We're starting to understand the it's so dumb, but we're starting to understand the way we've treated homosexuals is so wrong.
Yeah, it is. But didn't Eminem come out and say he's for marriage equality? And
all the times you were killing fags and transvestites and queers and dykes, maybe that's how many times you should make it clear
it is.
You're goofing. Maybe we're giving him the benefit of the doubt, and he's not goofing.
I don't like it.
And by the way, you can say the word sorry. A lot of things rhyme with it, like I'll cut your body. There's many places you can go after saying you're sorry.
I think you have a talent for rhyming words.
I think if you're really just straight up saying like I'll kill those faggots, lack of imagination.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the same thing as when a joke bombs and that joke has some racist elements to it or some homophobia to it. It just ends up sounding racist and homophobia.
Yeah.
But if the joke lands, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I just watched another Louis C.K. special where he uses faggot, nigger, and like one other word, cunt. But those and cunt, mm-hmm. and describes it, but he uses it the whole way. And I'm just like, this fucking faggot is hilarious.
That's
you know?
One of the, yeah, that's one of the best bits that Louis ever done. And it's amazing. It opens up Chewed Up. It's on the special Chewed
Up. And it's just like Eminem saying he'll take a chainsaw to gaze. It's just as clever and thought out.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying when Eminem says it just straight up like, I'll just kill this faggot, I'm like,
But I know.
Lack of imagination.
Does he just say that?
Of course he does. Okay. Of course he does. He's just going to go out and beat up faggots. It's not like, I get the analogy.
I like every song but that song.
See,
that's not the song I like.
And I don't know. And it doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't.
I do know, I'm telling you.
No. I don't know his music, so I'm going off that you said that he actually did say that. I know that there's other music that also has horrendous shit in there with like.
Yeah, like most other rap where they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I'm much more offended by the confidence that some of these awful rappers have. It's like, I'm the best. No, you're not the best. You stink. I don't like any of this. This isn't talented.
But I don't listen to the other rappers. Yeah. Eminem is huge. That's why I'm talking about him. Just like I'll talk about Kanye West because he's huge.
But he says some bullshit, doesn't he?
I heard the new album of Kanye West. I've heard all his albums. I don't hear him. Okay. I don't hear him beating up fags.
You're okay with him saying he's a god?
Is he not misogynist? Is he not just randomly?
Yeah, I don't even care. I'm over the argument then. If that's what we're comparing it to, he's gonna kill fags.
He's not gonna actually do it though. But I see your point.
And somehow it's comparative because maybe I use the word bitch on this show.
But it's like, fuck out. Okay, but it's like the same way that dumb people take Eminem's music and they're like, it's all right to bully people, are the same people that listen to Kanye West and like, look, he said black skinhead. It's that same kind of dumb. So why are we even acknowledging that kind of dumb?
I guess because it's the kind of dumb, you're not acknowledging it, is going to get, you know, my gay son dragged behind a tractor. That's
you're
why.
Right. Yeah. You're right, and maybe it is much more prominent because I don't remember gay bullying. Maybe it's always been this bad. I don't know. I'm ignorant. I'm pretty dumb to that kind of stuff. But I would think like that cause of that, Eminem being that, I don't know. What do you want him to like?
What do I want him to do?
Yeah.
I wish I had. I really wish I had. You know, lined. I didn't know I was going to talk about this. I really wish I had things ready to play for you guys. But feedback me some lines, Danny.
Oh, I thought you said offensive shit.
I'm going to kill a trans fag or les, for example. It's just coming to me because they used the song, you know, without that part for Despicable Me 2 trailer.
Did they really?
Yeah. But, I mean, without that part.
Oh, I know which song you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, is one.
Oh, no. He has incredibly homophobic lyrics.
And in the current stuff also?
In the current stuff, I hear him saying it, and he says it kind of fast, like maybe now he's just doing it for shock value, but you're still doing it. And it's like we want to give these people – I mean, I have to sit down with these lyrics. He's saying them so fast. But people are just like, my Kaplan, I'm talking the other day. He doesn't really mean it. How do you know he doesn't really mean it? Because you want him to not really mean it.
Also, Mike Kaplan is friends with Eminem.
Right, okay.
So you should know that.
So, okay.
I think they've talked at length.
Why didn't you bring that up? Yeah.
I don't want to step on Mike's cool reveal, maybe on the show sometime.
I think I do want to believe that he doesn't mean it because...
Me too.
Because people in entertainment, and specifically him, he's just, like you said, it sounds like he does it for shock value. And I think you're so surrounded by so many gay people. Yeah. I don't see how you could just say that. Like, if I say anything with the word nigger or faggot in the sentence... With people knowing me on this show, but I get a chance for people to really get to know me more than maybe Eminem and his lyrics. But I can't imagine writing lyrics like that.
But
I'm in a different genre of...
But being like angry while you do it.
Right.
Like I can't imagine like actually being angry and being like, I'll just kill these frags. And you're like, that's crazy.
Exactly. And to write it down and then to go behind a mic and to perform it in the way where it's like, I don't give a shit. I'll fucking kill that nigga.
Yeah, because I'm a fan of dark humor.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't ever think when someone writes a really dark joke that I'm like, I choose to believe that they're not, that it's a joke because they don't mean it and they're just saying it and you're like, that's something crazy to say. You know what I mean? I just don't.
I don't hear, I love all of Eminem's albums. I don't hear anything clever though when he's talking about lines about killing gays.
Mm-hmm. But do you know that you're the one playing it? I don't ever play it. So I don't understand what your actual point is. Like you play it. Now, because there's a new one every day before the show,
right?
While we're live,
because I'm trying to catch all the lyrics. I don't really know what this new album's about.
Okay, but
Keith is also starting a watchdog group.
Right. I got to keep an eye on these people.
Better rap lyrics.
Right.
We have lyrics in the feedback Keith, if you want.
Keith for better rap lyrics.
It's very, wow. I don't know how he says this fast, let alone says it at all.
I'm just saying facts.
Is it really that bad?
Of course it's that bad. Who forgets it's this bad?
Whether you're a fag or a les or the homosex, hermaph or trans of vest, pants or dress, hate fags, the answer is yes.
Oh, that's from his old age.
Homophobic? Nah, you're just heterophobic. Staring at my jeans, watching my genitals bulge. Ooh. That's my motherfucking balls. You better let go of them. They belong in my scrotum. You'll never get a hold of them.
But doesn't that just sound like every guy that's like, oh, I hate queers, and then you find out he's blowing a dude at a truck stop?
That's bad.
Like though. That specific sentence, it's like, oh man, you're just so over the top that you might be gay. That's like, I know exactly what song that is, and I've never sat and listened to it. Yeah, it's from Criminal, and it's, you're almost like, oh, like you just said, these are my balls, you'll never get a hold. Like, what kind of paranoid, when I talk to a gay guy, I'm like, this is my wiener. You don't get my wiener. You better stay away from me, you dick witch doctor.
I gotta say, there is no point to any of these lyrics. They hardly even rhyme.
Do you quit? Do you read those lyrics and then go, he's so fucking clever. He's just being clever.
No, I don't think that's clever. No.
No, I like when he raps about Dick Cheney having a heart attack. That's right. Kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's clever.
I don't know how I feel.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel. People given too many passes, you ask me. Too many passes.
I would equate it to if I see a comic that I really like or like a guy I really like and he does like two jokes, I'm like, nah, I don't like that one.
But he said, like, I'm angry. I get so angry, you know, I just want to kill fags. Anyway, next joke. And you go, well, I guess that one just didn't land with me.
Oh, what's wrong with him? Why did he just say that?
I guess I just didn't get that one. I'm sure there's more to it. And I just.
Is that a reference on something I don't know?
It must be. Somebody wrote me and asked, can you tell me the clip where you talked about fighting 30 children with black belts? And it happened to be the first time Dan Soder was on.
Yeah.
I passed a kid with a black belt on the street, and I'm like, I just want to take his fucking belt. Do I become a black belt then?
It's not Highlander.
Right.
You don't get his powers from cutting off his head. And you do is a lot of awkward stares from other adults when you're fighting a child.
But this is the episode where Keith and Dan fell in love.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and it was glorious. And that is worth a second listen, that first show, because Dan, you slid right in here. And we're phenomenal. And by the end of that episode, I believe both of you took the challenge to fight 30 kids with black belts.
I remember exactly what Keith was wearing. It was a shirtless, it was a sleeveless gray t-shirt.
Well, if you're a fag, I'll kill you.
Well, guys.
You guys get the joke?
That's so funny.
You're so clever. The way you said it so fast.
How did you think of that?
You know what's funny is I really don't. I was talking to Nate Bargatze about this today. Yeah. I really am so dumb I can just be tricked into things. And so I've heard enough people be like, well, Eminem's just, you know, he doesn't mean it. I'm like, yeah, he doesn't mean it. And then Keith brings up all these good points. I'm like, well, he doesn't mean it. And then I'm listening to myself talk, and I'm like, I'm fucking dumb. I don't even know. I don't even have my own opinion. I'm just like one of those creatures that sucks onto the bottom of a whale. And I'm like, well, I mean, this sounds like a good idea.
See, you know, somebody told me, look, I brought up a point, and they're like, where'd you read that? You know, don't believe everything you read. This is why I don't read.
Well, you should. Because
if I took the time to read, and then you're telling me over half the stuff I'm not even supposed to believe, what a waste of time.
I just, maybe I'd be a better person if I stopped reading lists that people are putting up on Facebook. That's my wormhole right now. It's like 29 parents that are nailing it on Halloween, and I'm not even reading about like major economical things. I'm like, oh, this kid's dressed like Walter White. That's pretty fucking cool. That parent gets it.
I hate you because that's what I click on.
Everyone does that. It's easy as shit. Oh, look, it's a GIF of Jennifer Lawrence itching her butthole. I'll look at this for 15 minutes.
I like the list because they tell you how many there are. There's 12.
29.
And I'm like, I got time for 29.
It's a sense of accomplishment.
But you know what's funny?
I made it all the way through there.
They don't even commit to like how many in a list. They don't do top 10 or bottom 10.
It's willy-nilly.
Yes.
It's top 17? Yes. When did 17 become a list?
I don't know.
And you know what? I stopped going. I've learned this recently. In the past 6 months, I've stopped going to like CNN.com, Drudge Report, because I like reading what the conservatives are up to. I like going all over the map to see this. And now I'm just on Facebook with fucking lists. Yeah. I have like seven windows open.
Yeah.
The show, by the way, first time Dan was on, and we talk about beating the shit out of children. Show 1444 for the ladies. And of course, the website is very searchable. You can find everything at keithandthegirl.com. Dan Soder, last time he was on, it was show 1755, Dan Sober.
Yeah.
Dan, who, by the way, opened up, if you recall, for my last stand-up album, Good, Clean, Fun.
That was a great
Went
time.
To the top of the charts, Dan. We did it.
That's you. That's all you.
And here's the CD and DVD.
Oh, dude. Really? You are just the best.
That's yours. You get it half off.
Sleeve. Okay.
he opened up the show. Everybody loved him, and it was fantastic.
It was a lot of fun. That was, you guys' fans are just polite, well-read. They like it. They enjoy good stuff.
Right?
They're
there to have a good time.
Yeah, it's not like...
Like, show me what you have.
Oh, my God.
I want to know what you have. Yeah.
Or like, Howard Stern fans, sometimes if you catch a lot of them, they're like, Baba Booey's penis. You're like, how does that... That affects my joke. This is based on timing and momentum. Please allow me to do my job. But your guys' fans are like, okay. Oh, that's a very interesting point. Oh, and you have a punchline for it. I enjoy that.
Here's my laughter.
Yeah. I'll provide you with laughter for you to get onto your next thought.
They are very polite. Like, I did stand up at Chris Laker's show just the other day.
Love Chris Laker.
And so, you know, we met everybody afterwards. And quite frankly, most people were there for, you know, me or Keith and the girl. And so when Chris Laker, and he probably expected it too, when he goes... All right, you might know this guy from the podcast, Keith and the Girl. And I'm like, all right, everybody go fucking nuts. Everybody's quiet.
Yeah.
Because they're polite. And I'm like, no, you're supposed to blow everybody's mind now, people. Yeah. Come on. And then I go up and then they clap.
Your fans are like, I hope other people learn that that's his show and can go there and listen to it.
I don't want to speak on top of that. Yeah.
I'm interested. I think that means Keith is about to take the stage. If I were to make a hunch... If I had a hunch, it would be that Keith's about to go.
I want you rushing the stage, people. In April, when Dan was on, he was talking about quitting drinking and quitting smoking.
Oh, yeah.
It is now November. How's it going?
Good. Haven't had a drink since. Still no drinks, no alcohol.
You look clearer. Is that annoying to say? Is that annoying to hear?
I gave myself to Scientology, so I'd like to talk to you, too, about Dianetics.
First of all, we're okay with Eminem.
Yeah. I just want to say, if he ever feels like he wants to get his e-meter reading, come on down to the church, Marshall, and we'll talk to you.
You look like you lost weight also.
I did lose weight by quitting drinking, and then I quit smoking, and surprisingly, I kept the weight off. I quit smoking June 23rd, have not had a cigarette, and boy, is that the tough one.
Yeah.
I knew I had to quit drinking before I had to quit smoking. Like, if I wouldn't have quit drinking, I'd be smoking still. Mm. Just because you get drunk and you're like, well, I'm going to have a cigarette. And quitting drinking, then quitting smoking, you're just like, oh, man, I really want a cigarette.
Is everything getting on your nerves?
No, not at all. Okay. It really just comes like once a day where like I want a cigarette and then I'll just be like, no, I don't actually want that.
And what about, did you smoke the e-cigarette or anything like that?
No, I don't trust that, man. Something, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but there's something fishy about the e-cigarette where I'm like, this is just too...
It seems odd. It's a light bulb at the end of it. Yeah. Something seems off.
What are you burning? Why are you getting that vapor? What's that vapor? And why are you so pretentious about it? You know it's not cool when my black friends are doing it. I'm like, well, that looks dumb.
Black guys
make everything look cool. And even that, I'm like, that looks stupid.
It's on our website now. It's the show with Ari Shaffir. But there's Andrew Dice Clay is on the red carpet for Blue Jasmine. And he's doing and the thing where he puts a cigarette on his head, electronic cigarette.
Really?
Oh, see, I love it.
I can't watch it. I couldn't watch that. Little Miss Muffet, sit on a please don't do the e-cigarette. And he's like,
and then he puts the battery in.
Yeah. You're kicking up.
That fucking whore.
Oh, I'm eating her ass. She gives me a look. I'm like, honey, we all know the line at the bank can get boring. No, Andrew, I need real cigarettes. I need real danger. That's what it is. That's what this generation deserves. Right. Fucking e-cigarettes.
It would be
you want the coolness without the danger.
Right. It'd be if Ron Wood was up there talking about his fucked up life drinking O'Doul's.
Yeah. Well, I think he actually does. Like Ron White, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just something. That's what we are now as a culture. It used to be like, you know, back in the 20s, you're like, filterless cigarette, and you're dumb enough to think it gives you strength. And now we're just like, we've done multiple research in this vegetable oil that I can, oh.
You guys are going about it all wrong. Here's what you do. You get your e-cigarette, you know, you get off smoking, good for you. Yeah. You get what is called wax, and it is the THC only.
Oh, I'm all about okay. the weed pen. Okay. Are you talking about the vape pen?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm all about
that. Okay, that's supposed to be for tobacco use only, but you get this wax, and it lasts forever. You can smoke pot in a movie theater.
Airport.
In an airport.
Don't do that, though.
Yeah, don't. What, why was I just going with that?
I don't know.
Yeah, a movie theater, a restaurant.
She has the Dan disease. Somebody just told me. Yeah.
How about Hemda and I could be influenced very easily.
Yeah, it sounded good for a second, and then I was like, no, there's still things there. But because it has no smell and because it's actually vapor, it's not smoke, you can smoke in public. You can walk down the street, pass a cop, and he will not stop you because he's not going to smell it. He thinks you're getting off tobacco. Yeah. Or not tobacco, the hemp tobacco. He thinks you're getting off cigarettes. So this is like a new dream.
You're right, until you realize that THC wax is powerful as shit, and you take three big wax off that thing, and you walk by, a cop is going to melt your mind. You're going to be like, he knows. And so no, don't do that.
Take it easy.
Yeah, be very sparingly with that vape pen.
Do it at home first.
They are awesome, and I want one so bad.
Yeah.
And I can't get one yet because I'll do it all the time. Mm. I'll just be in here right now like, are we still talking about M&M?
Yeah, it is funny. People do. When they talk about their sobriety, they leave off marijuana.
I'm not sober. I'll always say I haven't drank because I'm smoking weed. I'm high as shit.
I get a lot less.
Yeah, it's so much better. My life is so much better without alcohol.
You were talking about an app you have. It says how much money you saved, how your health is.
Oh, we're talking cigarettes. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an app, and if you're going to quit smoking, it's the greatest friend in the world. It's called the Butt Out app.
Okay.
And I think it's like $1.99, and it tells you, of course, you know, anti-tobacco is always, let's scare you with how many people die.
Right.
So they do the fatalities. So I quit, and it tells you to the minute, to the second, how much you quit. So I haven't had a cigarette in 142 days, 12 hours, 19 minutes, and 4 seconds.
Now, did you stop smoking and get the app at the same time?
Yeah, when I quit smoking, I knew about the app. Okay. I downloaded it, and the second I put out my last cigarette, I queued up the app.
Right.
And I was like, all right, let's do this shit.
Awesome.
142 days, yeah. So 1.8 million people have died.
Okay, congrats.
What, since you stopped smoking?
Since I stopped smoking. That's how many, and it's like a lot, yeah.
For smoking only, this is...
This is tobacco deaths, so I don't know. You know, they like to choose their stats.
Okay.
Could be more, could be less. Who knows? Saying a Gallup poll.
Even if it was a million less, it'd still be a lot. That's right. How much that is.
I've saved, this is crazy. I've saved $1,532.
Since April?
Since June 23rd.
June, okay.
November.
How much?
$1,532.
How is that possible?
It's 6 months.
This is the one that always makes me happy that I quit. I have not smoked 2,423 cigarettes.
Since, is that how much you were smoking?
I was smoking about 15 to 20 a day.
That's not even a lot. I mean, like, that's like normal.
It's a good amount. It's a good amount. It's a regular smoker amount.
Yeah.
Wow. A pack and a half.
No, that's a pack.
That's like a little more than 3/4 of a pack. You know, 20 cigarettes in a pack. Smoke about 15 sometimes. If I was drinking 20, my risk of heart disease has been cut in half. There's all these like different, you know.
Look at you.
You can see
that's
the little
amazing.
Butt out. Get it. It's a great if you want to quit smoking.
Now let's go to the weed app.
Oh, I'm smoking fucking daily, Holmes.
Now also, alcohol saves you money also. Like I know I have friends who quit for like a little bit just because they wanted to clear their minds or see what it's like or whatever. And they'll quit for a month. I'll go to dinner out where normally they would have two glasses of something.
Yeah.
You know, not trashed or anything. And at the end, we get a bill. And they're like, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, what? Is something on the bill? I don't drink and the bill is nothing.
Yeah.
And
it's
so
crazy.
The bill gets cut in half for them.
Yeah.
Are you feeling that in your pocket or is weed taking all of that?
No, weed's great because I don't smoke a ton of weed. I'm not one of these guys that just needs to be smoking blunts all the time. Like I can smoke a bowl at night and be fine. Mm. Or maybe have a hit off my one hitter at 3 p.m. and I'm good till I come home at night from shows. So I buy an ounce and it lasts me a while.
Okay.
And then the drinking, the paying for drinks is crazy because you're just like, well, I'll just take a cab because I get to take a cab now because I didn't waste $75 at the bar drinking by myself. Wow. I used to put 86 bucks. That's usually what it was, because it would be like, you know, like a $70 bill, and I'd tip like 14 bucks because then they'd always give me a free drink. Buybacks are great. If you're an alcoholic, buybacks are your best friend. But then now I don't do that. I'm just like, oh, fuck. All right. I guess I'll get Hulu Plus. $7.99 a month. Fuck it. Let's do it.
You hear that? If you're quitting anything,
yeah, get Hulu.
Go to keithandthegirl.com/VIP. Yeah.
But it really is just like you have this expendable amount of income. Amazing. Where you're just like, wow. Like I buy albums on iTunes and I don't feel guilty.
Wow.
The drinking thing though, for me, it's really, I miss it. Like people are like, I'm not one of these people that's like, oh, like when someone's like, what do you miss more, smoking or drinking? I'm like, I miss the whole package. Right. I miss a nice room temperature shot of Jameson, cold Bud Heavy, and a pack of Camel Lights in a box any day. If I could go in and just do that for a day and walk out and not want to do it, I would do it. Mm. Absolutely.
You could do it for like Christmas is coming up, right?
No way.
Really?
Oh, I would fall hard.
Are you afraid of Christmas?
No. I've been through weddings. I went to my cousin's wedding the night my Comedy Central half hour aired and I didn't drink. And that was like in Austin, Texas, which is one of the most fun cities in the world to drink in. Austin, Nashville, there's so many great cities to drink in, and I was in one of those hubs and I didn't drink.
Is your girlfriend a drinker?
No. My girlfriend will have a glass, two glasses of wine at dinner, and that's it.
Is that helpful?
Sorry. I did some work in Dallas. I got off the plane. They hand you a beer. It's like getting a lay in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah, Texas is just, they love booze. They all have great beer, that Lone Star beer, and you can just.
Lone Star and Shinerbach, they just give it to you for free.
It's great. Yeah. And it's just, you can knock down about seven of those Tito's vodka everywhere.
I don't forget, by the way, if you haven't seen it, speaking of drinking, my name is Keith. The trailer for the new show, and the show is up already, The Professional. It's with Catherine Heller.
Okay.
And there's more and more things that people see they didn't know about. Like people noticed, you know, we already talked about how it's my spinoff show where me and the guest get drunk and I yell questions at them. And she,
you'll never get booked on it, Dan.
I will if I want to destroy myself. I can do it. If I want to go low enough, I'll do it.
Okay, fuck you. Friday it is.
Yeah, I'm like, eh.
So we're doing the shots. Well, she's a bartender and she has these tricks. And she knew she was doing these tricks ahead of time, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So she takes a shot. And then I'm not looking because I go for my chaser, you know, a beer. She spits it out into her vitamin water thinking she's doing a chaser. What you also notice in this video, I don't know if we mentioned, I go up to the out to the bathroom. She takes water, puts it in her shot glass.
That's ridiculous.
And I'm doing vodka and she's doing water. And on top of it, some of these shots that she's not drinking, she starts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She goes, shot.
Yeah, you're trying to demolish your opponent.
Right, that's what it is.
I had honor in the game. I would just straight up out drink you.
Yeah. She's saying like, well, I couldn't drink all these shots, I'd be dead. It came to what would be 17 shots.
Jesus Christ! But and you did all 17? Yeah.
Because I thought we were doing it. I'm like, what the fuck? Is this bottle broken?
She's half his size.
I wouldn't have done all these shots if baby took her medicine like she should have.
You could have stopped at six.
Yes, I'm looking at her like we must not, because I can't judge me. I'm not standing up. I'm not moving. I'm just talking. Oh. And so I'm like, well, let me look at her. Everything's fine with her. So I guess everything's fine with both of us. I guess we need some more shots.
No.
Which, by the way, another thing that came to me, she said during that show, she goes, huh, this is fun. We're on like shot, I don't know, what should be 12, 13. She goes, looks like we have the same tolerance.
Oh, see, that's not cool.
You didn't have to say
that's
that.
That's not cool. That's not fair. You can't cheat and then rub it in that they're not. That's unfair.
That's so foul. Yeah. That's a foul. You throw that flag in.
Yeah. She should have to do three shots of Bacardi 151 in a row. And legitimate shots.
Mike Kaplan, they're dating. Mike Kaplan expressed interest. He said, I'd like to do My Name is Keith. Do you understand, A, there's no way you can cheat now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're
And B, I might not be able to help it, but I might take Catherine out on you.
Yeah. Oh.
I won't be able to help. I know me.
I didn't even think of that.
I can't help myself.
Is this thing booked or what?
Can I just come and watch? I'll sit on the couch and drink a nice club soda.
You and I will e-pen it.
Oh. We'll go e-pen for e-pen.
Yeah.
Dan's crying. Looks like his brain melted again. He just keeps muttering Anthony and Frank's something about a sandwich. Yeah, I would love to watch that. You know, because you know what it would be? Mike would be the boyfriend of the girl who's talking shit to you at the bar. Oh. And then you punch. You get to punch him. That's the guy you get to sock right in the face.
Here's what I read. Now, remember, you can't believe everything you read. Russia, up until 2011, did not count anything under 10% alcohol per volume, which is a lot of stuff,
yeah,
as alcohol. For example, beer and even malt liquor, which is double what beer is, still isn't. I mean, you got your freak beers once in a while. But even malt liquor isn't over 10%. Russia considered that a soft drink.
I don't know if I believe that, or is this one of these lies that like gets told, like, you know, in Russia they fucking have babies and they're half bear. And you're like, that's not a true thing.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe it's someone's joke that got written out and then people started passing it around.
Yeah, because that sounds a little
dumb. That's crazy.
If you're like, well, we give our babies beer, it's soft drink. They become big and strong like Vladimir Putin.
Look that up, Danny. Let me know.
I don't know. I think that's a lie.
You know what? These people, they're a mess. Russia's a mess. Everybody's skin is yellow. Their nails are falling off from drinking. I had a Russian Jew come in when I worked at a restaurant.
Okay.
It was a Jewish restaurant. That's why I brought that up for the record.
I just thought you were throwing it out there. I'm like, this guy's the Eminem with Jews. This guy really just, he says it fast and thinks we're just going to mow over it. I heard you say Jew. I heard you. And I want you to apologize, because a young Jewish boy could be getting bullied right now.
So I took
a mashugana.
So I took a chainsaw. Okay, this is neither here nor there.
Yes, I took a chainsaw.
So anyway, you know, he goes, all right, we'll take shots of Grey Goose.
Yeah.
And I bring some shots. They have the Grey Goose. He goes, no, you're trying to fuck me.
Yeah.
This isn't Grey Goose. I'm like, it is. He's like, I'll get a new bottle, open it in front of me. And I'm already beaten. As a waiter, I'm beaten. Sure. Yeah, who gives a fuck?
You walk around with a sense of defeat.
Yeah, I have no pride. Sure.
When you're a waiter, you have the confidence of Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
I bring over another bottle of Grey Goose. Click, 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 click. Open it in front of him. That's better. I pour it. He drinks it. No, what are you doing? This isn't Grey Goose.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, you saw me open it. Ah, you fused it together. You did something. Anyway, it ends up, I go back, I take the cheapest shit, worse than Fleischmann's. I pour this vodka for them. I give it to them. They drink it. They go, that's it.
Oh.
Try some. And I go, yeah, that's the thing. I can't.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, you try some. You feel the burn. That's good. And it's hard not to lose. Like, you ignorant motherfucker.
That's not good.
If it's good when it tastes like water.
Yeah, that's poison. That's ripping your esophagus up.
That's good. So I keep
this is good. You don't know. Real good means when you cry and shit blood. It means expensive. So you are stupid. You are not even Jew.
I keep bringing him the shit vodka. He's pleased to be charged the price for the good vodka.
Good.
What are you going to do?
There's a Russian vodka bar on like 53rd and 5th that I've gone to a couple times. It's terrifying.
It's all glycerin.
I don't know what it is, but you can get flavored vodka and you just order what you think is just like a drink, and they give you this carafe of just flavored vodka and two shot glasses, and they're like, all right. And like the very cold Russian bartender, she's like, all right, go to the table, you drink now. And then you leave hammered.
And you know, the flavored alcohol, the flavored liquors, I'm like, there's no flavor in here. There's like a hint of something in the back of somewhere of my mouth.
If I was ever looking to get loose, I'd go to that vodka bar and just get hit. Vodka is such a drunk man's alcohol.
Because it's easy.
It's, first off, the smell isn't that bad. You can do a lot of it and it's powerful as shit.
It goes with a lot of things too.
And, well, you can put anything on top of it.
Right.
It's just, and you get hammered. I got so drunk off shots of, we had a frozen bottle of vodka my last night living in Tucson. I got drunk at this biker bar, woke up late, still had to pack and go to my flight. I was so hungover, I just started taking shots of this chilled vodka in my freezer. A good 8 or 9 shots in the morning. I was hammered. Went to the airport, and it took a real long time checking me in, and I didn't know why. And they put like these 3 X's on my ticket and had me searched at the, like, I was full on security detail, but I didn't have booze on me. I had nothing on me. And I wasn't too drunk to fly. I was cognitive. I was talking. But I was drunk enough that I didn't realize that everyone was like, this guy's fucking hammered.
Right.
I got on the plane, and when the drink cart came, I was like, can I get a Jack and Coke? And she was like, no, I can't serve you alcohol. And I was like, why is this lady being a bitch? That's what I thought. I was so drunk.
Did she could just tell, like, that's how drunk you were?
I think what happened is maybe I think they told the flight attendants, like, the guy in 23A is wasted. Don't give him. And I don't know. I was just so drunk, and it was like a 3-day binge that I was so drunk, I didn't realize how drunk I was.
Do you try to tell him, I'm not flying the plane?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I have a terrible seat in the back.
You didn't throw up on a flight?
No. I used to be able to get. And then when I landed at DIA, because I was flying Tucson to Denver, when I got to DIA, I immediately got off the plane and had a shot of Jaeger and Rolling Rock. So, you know.
And are you like, do you look behind you like, I gotcha?
Yes, I did that, like, that spiteful, like, when I got off the plane, like, this bitch doesn't want to give me a drink. I'll go get myself a drink. And that's how you know you're a little too drunk, is when you're hurting yourself to get back at the sky waitress.
But, sorry, but I want to compare it to this. Like, that is something that people can control about you, which is very interesting. What if, what if food was monitored? And then you're like this fat guy, or not even, just somebody saw you have a giant meal before you get on the plane. Then you want the food, and they're like, no,
You can't eat.
No.
Why are you
eating? You had enough. Thank you.
But thank God that lady was probably an angel. God knows what, because I would have gotten a double, Jack and Coke, and she'd be like, that's $20. I'm like, yeah, I was waiting on that.
I'm looking at a couple websites. It seems true, this Russian thing.
Really?
Yeah, here's a science website I see. That's January 2nd, 2013. Beer is now considered alcohol.
Oh my God. I like that that's a news story.
Right. What? This is bullshit. Yeah.
What? So what does that change? Did the kids not get to drink beer there anymore?
No, right. They're just acknowledging it. Yeah, of course not.
We call it in name alone.
Hey, you know, you guys felt funny. There could be a reason.
Hey, you know how all those third graders were fucking? Maybe it's because we shouldn't give them beer at recess.
When we talk about NyQuil and how it gets you high, they laugh at us. Believe me.
Yeah, they're like silly Americans. We come and I mean, who's gonna be our next fight with them or China, or them together versus us? That's a scary one. You guys don't think about this? Pause.
They're all drunk. I'm not worried. Sorry.
I'm terrified. Whenever I have something positive happen to me, like if I have a great date with my girlfriend or like a really fun show and I'm hanging out with my friends, I think this will be the time that I think back to when the apocalypse happens and I'm eating a can of beans next to the road with my rifle with three shots and I have a huge scar across my face. That's what I was imagining.
I don't think about this, but I still drink.
Okay.
So, yeah.
let me mention this, please. Vistaprint. Vistaprint.com/Keith and the girl. iPhone cases. Great stocking stuffers. Prices as low as $14.99. You get the Apple case, it's like $30-$40.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's plain. Or it has the Apple logo. Make it your own. Customize it yourself. Have Vistaprint do it for you when they have their idea. I say get Josh Latta to do it. He's going to give you a special deal. You mentioned this.
I'm doing this. This is a great little stocking stuffer for my mom. My mom doesn't have it. My girlfriend.
They would love it.
So people that you want to make sure that you're like, I did this thoughtful thing.
Yeah.
This is a picture. Just get a picture. Yeah. You know she likes the picture if it has been a main picture on her Facebook. That's how I know. If she put it on the main picture or on the banner picture, you're good to go. Because it's dangerous to just put your girlfriend's picture on shit.
You know
what I mean?
Absolutely.
Check the Facebook, main picture. Any one of those pictures are pretty much good to go. She's proud of those.
Okay.
Put that on there. It takes like 5 seconds, and then you got this gift that she can't help but show to her friends because it's right there.
I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm saying I know my girlfriend. We have one of my favorite movies is her favorite movie. Uh-huh. If I can get a screen grab of a certain scene that I have on my laptop and do that and then have it as that.
There you go.
Debbie Boom. Does Dallas.
Yeah. She loves Gangland 13. Chicks in the hood.
This is like a shortcut for people who are like, oh, we just started dating or I forgot to pay attention.
Get
a
dick pic on an iPhone case.
You know your girlfriend's porn, so that's special.
Yeah.
Vistaprint.com/Keith and the girl. Satisfaction is guaranteed. If you're not happy, they will make it right. There's absolutely no risk. Now, let's get controversial.
Oh, man.
Are you ready to rumble?
Not really.
Mike Tyson admits that he was high on drugs during major fights.
Of course he was.
This article says it's shocking. Apparently, they don't know what the word shocking means.
I'll probably tell you which fights it was. It was everything after Don King took over. I'm guessing the Peter McNally fight.
He was a full-blown cokehead. He admitted to using drugs and cocaine shortly before the bout began.
That's not fair because you could really, you know, you think you're invincible, so you do some...
Lawrence Taylor used to do crack and angel dust before he played linebacker in the NFL. That's dangerous.
How is that possible?
He used to do tricks like he used to send hookers to opposing running backs' rooms and have these hookers, like these high, high-end escorts bang these running backs all night. And then when they showed up for the game on Sunday, they were like lethargic and they're like, well, that was just, you know.
Lennox Lewis, he was high.
No, well, yeah, that fight. If you watched that fight, you could tell because Lennox Lewis picked him apart.
Before the actual fight, he got into a brawl with Lennox Lewis and he started biting Lennox's legs.
His calf muscle.
Yeah.
That was when he said, that's when he said, I'll fuck you till you love me.
Right.
He said, I'll take your son's testicles and I'll stomp on him.
And that's when we said, they must be the most sober people.
That guy probably wakes up with a clarity that I wish for.
Right. He's eating ears, you know, all this. And I was saying this yesterday, and we have on the phone Rod. He's from the show, The Black Guy Who Tips. And
hey,
let me just.
How y'all doing?
How you doing, buddy? You're still black, right?
Yeah, last time I checked.
Okay, so I was saying this the other day that I will watch, it's mostly black guys, right? I'm watching.
Now it's Latins.
Okay, Latins too. I mentioned
but
that.
Black and Hispanic, yeah.
But not white. And as a white guy, I'm watching a boxing match and I can't help but feel a little weird. Like these people are doing it for me, the white man's amusement. You look at the MGM Stadium, it's mostly white people, of course, this kind of thing.
So you're saying you have the guilt like it's the Mandingo scene in Django?
A little bit. Now, when you heard that, Rod, do you think like that's fucking crazy? Or do black people sometimes look at us watching and go, look at you. Fuck you for enjoying this so much.
Yeah, I think so sometimes. College football, for example.
Okay.
Where the guys go out, they play for free. A lot of times, you know, and it's like a big deal that they have to keep playing for free. It's like, you're getting a scholarship. Just be happy, motherfucker.
Right.
But when you look in the crowd, like most of the audience that is like really intent that the only way they'll watch this sport is if these guys do never get paid for this until they're in the NFL or something. It's mostly white people. So it is like an odd, like I'm rooting for this team, but am I rooting for these guys the way you're rooting for these guys?
Yeah, he's got a really good point. Yeah. And what actually helps his argument is SEC football is the best. And it's a bunch of white dudes in seersucker suits just being like, well, my boys are running pretty good today. And you're like, please stop talking like that. Please don't do that.
You're right.
It's like that whole, like, I don't need that guy. And like, well, it's as hot as the Dickens. Let's see if I can fuck that. I don't want to go near that. It makes me feel
mighty fine evening for some football.
Yeah.
And the guy gets like carted off with his like femur bone popping out. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, we all do realize that guy's probably like done for life.
Yeah, that guy's not going to finish his communications degree.
Right. Well, let's work on trading him.
Yeah. But college football is not even trading. College football is like, he's almost like a horse. They treat him. They're just like, right. Pull him. Take down his scholarship. Put a bullet in his scholarship. He ain't ever going to run again.
I was saying this yesterday and made it the poll. And I seemed alone in the room on this. But the poll was, do you feel uncomfortable seeing a black person in a subservient position? Now, as a white person, I of course, I'm the one who brought it up. I do feel that way. And I put the poll to everybody. Black people can answer because maybe they feel the same way for different reasons. But when it comes to, it could be a waiter. It came up because we brought up a bathroom attendant.
Now, there's specific my white guilt gets triggered by certain jobs. A black waiter, that does nothing. I don't feel any guilt for that. The shoe shine guy at the airport.
Yes.
That one is a white guy. You're like, ugh. I saw a cop in the Indianapolis airport getting his shoes shined, and they weren't having that fun talk where most of the time, like, you'll be like, hey, you know, they're talking about the Colts. Like, I just walked by, and the cop was just silently staring as this young black dude was shining his shoes. I'm like, that's very uncomfortable for a white guy.
I would think so.
That black dude probably didn't even work there.
The cop just made him do it.
The poll was, yes, I do feel uncomfortable seeing a black person in a subservient position. 44% to no, 56%. Invader, he's an African-American. He says, Jesus Christ, Keith, get over your white guilt already. It's annoying and ironically offensive. Anyways, great show as always. And this is the key. You have to engage your audience.
But Rod, do you think, am I right feeling that way?
I don't know about right, but I like white guilt a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like all the positive things that have happened for any minority or like disenfranchised group in America, it had its beginnings in at some point white people feeling bad. Like,
okay.
You know, they at some point they have to be like, You know what, guys? We are up 100-3.
We should put in the second string.
Let's just take the fourth quarter off. I kind of like white people that have some white guilt. I mean, it's not crushing you. It's not like you're going to give up a paycheck.
Yeah.
So that someone feels better about.
Oh, never. I'm just kidding.
You know, just a polite, acknowledgement of, yeah, this could be a little racially messed up is cool with me. I like people like that.
I wrote, if the poll shows that most people feel like I do, you, sir, invader, should then have to begin to eat a dick any color of your choosing. I don't personally feel guilty at all. Yeah, let me make this clear. But it's odd to me to see a black person being subservient to me when it comes to things like driving me, washing my hands, this kind of stuff, because I mostly wonder what they're wondering, I'm wondering. You know, I know what you know, I know. With that said, you personally, invader, may wash my hands after I shit. I promise I won't feel bad no matter how black you are. You holier than thou got it all figured out, shithead. Oh. And he was great talk as always. If I'm getting a pedicure, and this isn't crazy, I have with my wife. If I get a pedicure and it's a black person, especially if it's a black male, it's weird. And it's not because I'm making it weird. I'm wondering what they're thinking. I guarantee they're what you know, you're doing my feet and I'm white. There's something there. And to act like it's not there, okay, and I'm overly sensitive, I think is silly.
See, yours is different because you're thinking about what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like,
and they're thinking what I'm thinking.
But I have this feeling of like, oh, I know, it's kind of awesome. I was born a white guy. Sorry. Like, it's that kind of guilt where it's like, it's oh, man, I'm so – it's like driving a nice car next to someone with a bad car, and you're like, I just – ugh, I don't know. I'm sorry. Right. This is – I feel bad that
it's like – I feel like being white must be like being an Eagles fan, because I'm a fan of the Eagles, and everybody's like, that fan base fucking sucks. I hate you guys. The people that root for your team are terrible. I'm like, I'm a nice person, though.
Yeah.
So, it's like no one – your team shows up and everybody kind of is like, you guys fucking suck. And then it's like, but I just needed to get my pedicure.
Yeah, exactly. See, I feel like it's like, I would almost agree with that to the point where I feel like it's like going to like Yale. And you're just like, I went to Yale. I'm sorry. Like, things just worked out for me.
Now, I will say, when I go to the bathroom and there's an attendant, I feel extra guilty when there's a black dude. Because now I feel, because I never have cash on me.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I sold him out. Like, yeah. It's like, use white people. I'm not going to give you shit. Bye.
Yeah, it's like you're an Uncle Tom now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now I'm an Uncle Tom because I try to avoid eye contact. I wash my hands at the furthest sink away from the guy. If he offers me a towel or something, I just like stiff arm him and run out.
The old patented spin move.
God, I'm like, yeah. I'm going to hold my piss for the rest of the night because I can't go back in there.
I mean, I understand they signed up to do pedicures, for example, a black person, and they want the job. They want customers. But I can't help it that I'm sitting there on my cushion throne getting my mechanical massage. Yeah. No, not even clear polish, sir.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes, I will take the extra scrubbing. Massage the thighs for free.
I don't care black, white, Hispanic. I don't care. If you are an attendant and I take a dump, I will tip you. I will find if you have been in the room while I've been taking a dump, you have earned whatever change and or loose dollars I have on me.
I think if I had diarrhea and was running to the bathroom and saw a bathroom attendant, it would plug right back up.
Yeah.
There is really? No way. There is no way. Because if I were to poop while somebody else is in the room, I would have to acknowledge it because they're staying there. Because otherwise I'm just like, oh, I'll just wait. I will wait until a person who's finishing, I'll just wait and I'll hear them leave and then I'll do my business. But if there's a bathroom attendant, I know they're not leaving, so it won't come out, because if it will come out, I'm going to have to be like, this is happening and I'm really sorry. I really think that it'll be done in like another minute. I'm so sorry. I got to go back to my table and get money, but if you want to leave right now, I will talk to your boss for you. I
just imagine you having to make that poop breathing noise while you're talking. So you're like, hey, I'm really sorry about this. I'm going to go back to my table and get some money in front of you. Oh,
I would
pay
an extra like $5 if they could just watch the door for me like a burglar.
Oh, that is genius. Or I'm going to bring a spare set of earbuds and be like, hey, can you put on your iPod while I just fucking rip this stall up?
Nice.
You are tagging in a way.
Yeah.
WSC the third, he's an older white gentleman. He says, I don't feel uncomfortable about these subservient positions because I've been there myself. So I guess he's been forced into slavery, and I never heard that story.
Oh, don't do that. I hate that whole, I get it.
Yeah.
As a white guy, I'll never get what it's like to be black.
Invader says, white people in general need to stop with the white guilt shit. Like Rod said, don't you understand all the things you get now because of our white guilt?
Fat white women.
We were talking about the Redskins yesterday.
Right.
And it's like, who wants to be the guy in the room who's like, no, my attachment to this football team nickname is way more important than your attachment to your race and the history of that in America, Native Americans. I'm the one who's right here because I drink beer on Sunday.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that, Rod, is my manager asked me about 2 weeks, like when this thing first kicked up, they're like, do you want to go? There's a TV show that I won't name that they do like fun debates on.
Right.
And they're like, do you want to go debate that the Redskins should keep the name Redskins? I was like, do you know how white I am? I look like a guy that invented that slur. Like, there's no way I can go on and defend it.
I said, whenever you talk about somebody's skin color, it's never, yay, Redskins.
Yeah.
It's derogatory when you bring up their skin color, right? It's just someone doing their job, Invader says, and that person happens to be black. You've worked shitty jobs before. What went through your head? Well, it's probably the same thing going through the black guy's head. And I'm glad he said that. Because it's good to finally know that I can relate to the black man's struggle. Noted.
I mean, I used to have to wait on bankers, like young bankers in Midtown, and I was always like, fuck these crack-ass motherfuckers. That's where I was in my head.
Look, thank you, Invader, for giving your opinion. I will now try to have more white pride.
I just imagine Invader is like Lawrence Fishburne in Boys in the Hood. Like, he's the dad. That's who I'm thinking. He's just wise, and he's just like, come on, man.
Yeah, I just picture, like I remember when I was a waiter, and obviously I was a black waiter. I didn't have a choice. but we would have, like, black patrons in. People wouldn't want to wait on them because, obviously, you have the black people on tip thing. Now, I didn't know shit about this at the time, so I would just take the table. I'd be like, Rod, you want a table? I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah, man, free table. You are the nicest person in the world. Is like, yeah, I'll trade you later. It'd be some white people.
Yeah.
But after I figured it out and got hip the game, I would just give black people free shit as like my revolution. You know, it's like, here you go, brother.
Yeah.
Take this juice on me. Like, orange juice. And then one point the manager was like, our stocks for orange juice are kind of depleted. And we're not selling a lot. I was like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Not quit that job. But the point being, we all rebel in our own way.
Drink this delicious nectar that the white man doesn't want you to have, my fellow brother. And you know what? That's so wrong. Black people, it's not that they don't tip. Indians don't tip. That is, if you really want to know the group of people, like I'm talking Indians from India.
Right.
Yeah.
Not Redskins?
Not Redskins. I was just going to say that. Not Redskins.
I think if it was Redskins,
that'd be fine too.
Yeah.
He's saying the worst tippers are old people and young people.
Right. It's also rich Spanish people from Spain. They could care less about tipping you.
How do you even keep up?
I will say though, when a black person doesn't tip, they get more indignant about it. Like it's way more like, I'm not going to tip because.
Okay.
So it's more like outspoken, I feel. Like it's a solid, firm stance. Because I've had debates with people that are like, fuck what you just said. I'm staunchly not ashamed and not tipping this person. So I don't give a fuck.
Well, you have a show called The Black Guy Who Tips. So do you overtip to make up for people believing that black people don't tip?
I overtip because I used to be a waiter.
Exactly. I do the same thing.
I can't, like, it's the same reason why I see a bathroom attendant. I'm just like, oh, fuck me. I'd rather hold my piss. Like, I just can't. I don't like being attended to. It just, I don't know, it fucks with me. And if you do attend to me, I want you to be like, that guy's a nice person. And when I see him again, I want to like come over to his table and hug him and be like, you tipped me well and I love you.
I see. I do the same thing. I do it with when I order delivery to my apartment. Yeah, I tip them 20% of the bill like they were a waiter.
Mm. Like, and it's weird too because then people treat you like you're like the man, which is really weird because like an extra $3 on Domino's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, I got
the
same.
Guys like speeding through the fucking traffic signs to get to my house. It's like, dude, that's only like $5, but I appreciate it.
It's the best. I got a guy from a butcher bar here in Queens. I love their barbecue sandwiches. I get them on Sundays. The guy knows that I tip well. So now it's instead of like, here's your sandwich. He's like, what's up, buddy? How you doing? I'm like, what's up, motherfucker? Niners are about to play.
Yeah, I got shot, but I made sure you got your sandwich. I'm not going to the hospital.
Well, here's one thing we learned for sure. If you run a restaurant, have your workers wait on a race other than their own so they don't form a bond and bleed you dry. I mean, don't say why. Say it's for integration, you know, something like this. Make it sound like a beautiful thing.
Nassim, don't have the Indians.
All the black waiters, white tables, and white people, black tables. I feel like I still won.
You know, I mean, there's something when it comes to subservience, period. When I would run into somebody and, you know, their life, they had a goal, I had a goal.
Yeah.
Keith and the girls working out, their goal didn't work out. I go into a restaurant, they happen to be waiting on me. It's odd. So don't act like I'm making all this up. There's something odd. Then what do you tip? Is tipping too much offensive, saying you made it and they didn't? There's something about subservient things, and it's there, and it affects race too. And 45% of me agree, 45% of the listeners. And I keep forgetting in these polls, there's other countries too that never dealt with slavery. And those are lowering down.
I do not tip. You have a Coke Light? Fuck you and your EU. You assholes. I'll say it right now. Nothing's made me more patriotic than having to wait on foreign people. You should sign me up.
All right, Rod's got to go do his show. Thank you for your opinion, Rod. And of course, I'm dead right, and I appreciate you saying so.
Obviously, like always, man, I got your back, Keith. And anytime you guys need to phone a black guy, just let me know. Y'all have a good one, and thanks so much for the shout-out, guys.
All right, peace, brother.
Now, when you say brother, what do you mean... I'm feeling a little guilty that you said brother, and I know it didn't come out of my perfect pink white lips.
The day before the poll was, should the name Washington Redskins be changed due to its offensive connotation? I believe at the time it was 51% yes, now it's 58%. And I want to bring this reasoning up again. I loved it. Spiro wrote it. It's as if people came to your house, raped your wife, infected your children with disease, tortured and mutilated your body, set every house in your neighborhood on fire, then reopened a daycare on the scorched earth and put your smiling face on it and called it the Johnstons.
Yeah.
Dead right.
It is. You know, I don't think it's a big deal. I think they should just change it to the Bravehearts Warriors, something where it's maybe a positive reflection of the Native American culture. If you're going to go that route.
I mean, I would just leave it out. Why?
So do you think total different direction? They should be called like the Lasers.
No, here's what everybody's missing. No name.
Just no name?
Just no name.
Just the DCs?
Yeah.
How about like the Bankers or something actual terrifying? The Taxmen. And you're just scared shit. Oh, we got the Taxmen next Sunday.
And come on, all the sayings, if you're a fan of the Taxmen, you always got to pay the Taxmen.
Yeah. You got to kick up 10%. Right. You're like, what?
Two things are certain, death and taxes. Today you're getting both.
Oh, you know? Go Taxman. Go Taxman. Taxman. Starting at quarterback for your DC Taxman.
Beatles like start playing.
Yeah. Tax it's man. Robert Griffin the third. Do it, man. White people do a ton of scary shit. Like make laws and convert people to a religion against their will.
They run onto the field.
Dude, the Crusaders.
They break through.
How scary of a name is that?
They break through a giant pile of money.
Yeah. Money. They play Ted DiBiase's theme song from the 80s WWF.
Your team's doing well.
Niners are 6-3. I wouldn't say they're doing well.
Well, it's compared to... See, that's what's so weird. The standings and the different... what do you call them? Not regions.
Different conferences. Well, they're divisions and conferences.
Different divisions. Different to NFC East.
Keith was not looking at me for that information.
That's why you didn't tell me. I apologize.
He shook you right off.
But like you have the Steelers that are doing horribly, but in their division, they're not doing the worst. You have the 49ers that are doing good, but in their division, it's almost worse because you have the Seahawks 9-1.
Yeah.
It can get to the end where you have a team that's fantastic, a team that's not so fantastic. It doesn't seem fair to me. I don't understand.
I think it was 2009. I forget who made the playoffs. A team from the AFC West made the playoffs because they won it. It was like the Chargers or somebody that was like 8-8. And the Patriots were 11-5 and didn't make the playoffs.
No, that's come on.
Because they... I just caught that. I thought Chemda was being real for a second, as a dumb football fan, I just locked in. I'm like, right? And I think Brady's passer rating was something like 126 that year.
I'm sorry, that was really mean.
But you know what? It was also great. You're a good actor because I was in.
But you have AFC West. You have the Chiefs at 9-0, Broncos at 8-1, and then you're going to have another division that they're
Broncos
not even
are eight and, or
8-1, and you're going to have another division that's not even close to those numbers, but they will be in the playoffs just the same.
Yeah.
It sounds like voting.
If the Niners were in the NFC East right now, they would have a hearty lead.
Right.
They would almost be like, we're 2 wins away from locking up a divisional win.
When you're watching football, I picture you really getting into it.
I'm a psycho. It's disgusting how much I get into it. The 49ers are the one team. And I'm not even from San Francisco. My dad lived in San Francisco, so I'd spend half my years there. You know, like summers and winters, vacations, I'd be in San Francisco.
Is it the only time you can spend with that?
Yeah, well, that was it, you know, because I was in school. And so when I wasn't in school, my mom would send me to San Francisco for weeks at a time. And, you know, Mill Valley and Marin and stuff. But I grew up, even before that, even before my parents were divorced, 49ers were like the religion in my house. That's what, and they were great. They were like a dominant team in the 80s.
Are you the asshole in the bar pissing people off?
No, I won't go to a bar. I'm not, because I don't.
Because you know better?
If I'm in a bar, I will mute my reactions, but I don't like to mute my reactions. I like to get it out.
What kind of reactions do you have?
It's a lot of screaming. I say the C word a lot, and it's mostly men, so you can't say I'm being misogynistic. I'm calling a lot of them cunts. I get very angry, very upset at the opposing city. That's done nothing.
Do you throw things or anything like that?
I don't throw. I throw very colorful language at the television. I had a girl last season, not my girlfriend now, but a girl I was dating last season, came over to watch the New York Giants San Francisco game.
Did you invite her over?
Well, she's a football fan.
Okay.
This girl I was dating, and she was like, well, I'll come over and watch the game. I'm excited to watch. You know, and by halftime, the Niners were losing pretty bad, and she was like, I don't feel comfortable watching this game with you. Because I was getting so upset. She's like, you just like text me when you're done watching the game. And I was like, that might be too much.
Oh, now I want to watch this.
It's just...
That's great. Can we... Oh, this would be such a good keep on TV.
I either get super... Like, okay, here's a good... The Niners were in the Super Bowl last year, and I was in San Francisco with my 85-year-old grandmother watching the Super Bowl.
You gave her a heart attack.
I said the word cunt fuck in front of my 85-year-old. When Jacoby Harris took back that kickoff, as you know, Chemda. Like,
that was a moment. What am
yards.
I forgetting that moment?
Yeah, it's a big moment.
Dan, please, you know, please.
It put him up by so much.
Right.
I yelled, what a cunt fuck.
Well, and he was a cunt
and
fuck.
And threw my hat at the TV. And then I looked back to my 85-year-old grandmother who had her Shih Tzu buddy on her lap, who was terrified at this point.
Right, because you knocked over the antenna.
I just went nuts. And then I looked back at my grandmother and was like, I'm sorry. And she just looks at me and she goes, no, I get it. Because she used to be a season ticket holder at Kezar Stadium. So she's a huge 49er fan.
Cool.
Yeah, wow. But that was the only time I've ever cursed in front of my grandmother.
You know what? I'm not having children, but if I were to have children, it would only to have grandchildren that could hear me say cunt fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And be like, this is not going to change your life. Get over it.
Yeah, she was, it was almost weird because I was like, I'm so sorry I said those words. And she was like, I've lived through a lot of stuff.
Do you live with your new girlfriend?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Will she watch a game with you or she knows
now? She has learned now.
Right.
We're at week 9 of the NFL season. Right. I think it took her about 5 weeks. She did the really cute thing where she's like, I want to watch a game with you. And we watched a game where the 49ers dominated the Houston Texans and she didn't like it. Because I don't think girls, she's completely unaware of football.
Yeah.
She's really into, you know, she's into musical theater and that kind of stuff. Completely oblivious to the world of the NFL. And so I think she thought, it's going to be fun. My man's going to be there and we're going to have sandwiches and we're going to talk. And occasionally he's going to look at the TV.
Right.
It's basically like she's not sitting in the room. Even at commercial breaks, I'm like, I got to text Nate. That fucking cocksucker dropped that ball. We need Crabtree back. I'm just saying stuff and my girlfriend's like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Like she's giving me that like right. At the other end of the couch. Like, what about me?
We started like, holding hands.
Yeah. And I'm like, I love you. I'll talk to you when the game's up. So she's now... Just like any good relationship, right. She's learned. And she's like, okay,
My wife asked to come out with me. She said, who are you meeting at the sports bar? The game's not playing in our house. And I'm like, nobody. I didn't think to ask anybody. And she goes, I'll come with you. It'll be fun. I'm like, well, let me explain something.
Yeah.
You know, like, we'll get like brunch. I will be watching the TV.
Women have an incredible amount of confidence when it comes to them thinking they're more important than the NFL. And it couldn't be farther from the truth.
It's no offense to them. Just think about how many people are in the NFL.
You know what? I used to only get invited because I made food.
Yeah.
Threw it down on the table and then went back in the kitchen.
Exactly. My favorite thing is watching the girls that try dick fishing by like putting on like a sexy Brett Favre jersey and then sit at the bar by themselves. And you're like, yeah, guess what? You'd think on paper that this would work. A bar full of men,
right.
And you're in something cute and you're good looking and you're trying to find a guy. Guess what won't happen?
Right.
And it will happen when the game's over and they're all sloppy drunk and either upset that their team lost or on this unbelievable high because their team won.
Right.
So you're not going to get the dick of your choice.
Can I tell you, this was on, I'm not kidding, it was an episode on Sex and the City.
Was it really?
And yeah, and all of this was how they portrayed it. They were not like, oh, Samantha can get anybody. Samantha broke up with someone because she had to monitor how happy or sad, whether she's getting laid, whether his team is, you know, and she would be completely ignored and like all this kind of stuff. Yeah. So this was an actual episode.
It's funny that my girlfriend reacts the same way to the 49ers losing as when I told her my dad was dead. Like she just does like a heavy breathing. She's like, I'm sorry. It's like, it's okay. We're going to work through this together. We got the Saints next
week. Because you probably said it the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. I had just as much sadness in my eyes telling her that the Niners dropped one to Carolina at home.
Yeah, you can't just wear women a Brett Favre, you know, tight top,
yeah,
thinking you're looking so sexy on TV as Brett Favre.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a third touchdown. That's pretty sexy.
Yeah, I'm watching Patrick Willis play. I like that you have a girl, Patrick Willis, but it's like, you know, though there are certain women that are great at watching. I have my friend, you know, a couple of girls that I know. My friend Kate, she's a huge Niner fan. She lives in San Francisco. I love, like, we'll text back and forth during the game because she knows football.
Right.
And there are some guys that I will take to brunch during a major game, Danny Hatch.
Exactly. You know? There are guys, I know guys that just don't even acknowledge the NFL. They're like, I don't know what that is. And you're like, I don't care.
Right.
That's fine. This is something I'm into. This is, you know, this is like, fans of sports can be just as big as nerds as nerds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the way you're.
Oh my God! I'm sorry. I just went to Danny Hatch's show and he had Nathan Anderson on, and Nathan has this joke where he goes a little bit about myself. Like this is part of his introduction. A little bit about myself. I am a level 2. Blah blah blah. I level whatever. I do this. He's naming all kinds of like shit that I have no idea I understand, and it goes on for a while until the audience gets uncomfortable, and then he goes, okay, so if anyone wants to discuss football with me later, this is what you sound like to me. Can we move on?
That's really funny.
And it was done so well because he looks, sounds the part, he knows it, he is the part, and he just, you know, indulges it. It was fantastic.
Brother Love is writing in and he's saying, look how these women try. We're talking about football, somehow we got to Sex in the City.
Yeah.
How the fuck did she do that? That's
confidence. That's that woman confidence where I can bend anything my way. They can change matter for their own device.
It worked.
And you know what I don't like is I am nerdy about football, and I don't like this stereotype that people who don't watch football are like, look at these dumb jock-loving idiots. And it's like, no, man, I like the game. I leave it at home. I'm not going to be like, you don't like football, you queer. I'm not like that at all. If you don't like football, cool. Let's find something we're both into that we can discuss. I hate when people like they think that we're all just a bunch of alcoholic, wife-hating. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm changing this to me again, but I'll say this. I think of that. I think about that for my wedding. It's nice that people are happy for me, but if you never want to get married, I totally get it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to come to my wedding because you don't think people should get married, totally fine. Like if you don't want to fly out, if you don't want to come out, whatever it is, I am still surprised when people say, "Oh, congratulations." And I'm like, "Oh, you're a part of this too. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
oh, thank you." But it is my decision to do this thing with my person.
Yeah. I think people get nervous, like with social media, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and they look at it and all they see is people getting excited about something they're not interested in.
So then they have to
strike out. I was talking about how I saw the great Mike Lawrence was tweeting, every sports tweet is really, I'm lonely. Really? Who's the new Ant-Man?
Yeah, exactly. I love Mike. But I can't celebrate anything in front of Mike Lawrence without him taking it down 3 notches. Anything I like, I'm like, dude, I love this game. Like, we're both into professional wrestling. And I'm like, dude, WWE 2K14. He's like, yeah, I mean, it gets really lackluster around this point. You're like, okay, well, I like it right now. And I got into a comic like 7 years late. And I'm like asking him, I'm like, dude, how great is it? And it's pretty well known that The Boys, written by Garth Ennis, is a great comic. And I'm like, Lawrence, I just finally started reading it and I feel so stupid. It's taking me this long to read. He's like, well, the artwork really gets lackluster around book six. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm on book five. So I guess I'll just fuck myself. Because I tried enjoying something and bringing it up to you, that thinking we could have this similar enjoyment from it. But I love Mike's one. I love Mike to death.
Oh, he's one of our favorite people.
But
of all time.
He really is. That's the one thing. Like Superman, I liked Man of Steel, and he was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "What is wrong with me?"
But he knows that about himself.
Yeah, no, he's trying. Yeah, he does. God, he tries.
He tries so hard.
Mike, 7 years ago, you couldn't go near him. You'd swat everything down. Now he'll listen.
He's a little tolerant.
Before perfectly dismantling your argument. He'll listen at least first.
I'll say, I'm into pro wrestling. And then he starts saying things where I start thinking, I guess I'm not.
Yeah.
I only watch it 10 hours a week. I think I'm not into it. Did you remember the promo from 1986?
Oh, my God.
Ted DiBiase? And I'm like, no. And he's like, why are you fucking lying?
Yeah.
You obviously know it.
Him and Dan St. Germain, I have to specify with every time we watch wrestling, where I'm like, 88 to 95, I got you. Let's not go out of that realm. 86 to 95. I'll give you a good 9 years of wrestling knowledge.
They know who conditions Daniel Bryan's beard, you know, all this.
Yeah, they know everything. Well, they're like, you know, John Cena actually first. I'm like, how did you know that?
Right. Dan Soder was recently on a Hang Out With Me episode, Mike Kaplan's episode.
Yeah.
It's up now, episode 108, The Center of Sports and Everything. And he also on that show, I happened to be in the room when they recorded it. You'll hear me howling in the background. It's so much fun. He talks about being a DJ at a radio station. Real quick, give me a speed break.
Now, what kind do you want? A normal speed break that I would do? Or do you want one from like the station next to me that was classic rock?
You.
That was like awful. I'll
take the normal and then I'll take your version.
Yes.
All right. So I worked at, I worked at KFMA in Tucson.
Okay.
So it'd be like, that was the Foo Fighters, 92.1, 101.3 KFMA, Tucson's only new rock. KFMA.com, we got the list of all the concerts coming to Tucson. Make sure you check it out with our concert calendar. Up next, Bush. There you go.
Very good.
Oh my God, that was awesome. Do.
And then the one next door would be like, hey, that was Dockin'. You're listening to 96.1 KLBX, Tucson's classic rock. Coming up, we got to get the lead out. Double shot of Led Zeppelin. Don't forget, you probably have hepatitis. Go get checked out at a gas station or a truck stop. And if you're...
would show up to these jobs. You're high.
Yeah, all the time.
You fuck up because you're high?
No. I think I made... Once I got comfortable enough, I was doing fun stuff.
It's an easy job.
Yeah. It's like pot goes with that job. It's almost like it's perfect because you're just listening to music and then you're just talking real fast with a, you know.
Right.
It's just great. It was fun.
Well, you'll hear all about it. KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP. Or is it just his regular show, Hang Out With Me? It is his regular show, right?
So it's his regular show.
Okay, so it's free. But while I'm talking about VIP, which I just brought up out of nowhere, Danny Hatch's show will be out tomorrow. It's me and Chris Laker.
Okay.
Have you reheard the show yet, Danny? Okay, he's nervous to hear this show because he doesn't like, I think me and Chris took over.
Well, Laker.
You can, jump in.
Get up here, Danny.
Of course you can.
Danny's coming for revenge. Danny, Chris Laker and
you hear sometimes on a show, he'll take a pause too long in the show.
Danny will.
So I'll think, you know, me, Hemda, in this case, me and Chris, we would jump in thinking, well, we're professionals. Somebody needs to talk. And then Danny starts feeling we took over and ruined his show. Am I close?
No, I was fine with that. And I brought up my concerns with you on the show, which is award-winning. I want everyone to know.
Right.
The music got to me a little bit.
I would play music when you would mention a song.
No, when Chris... I don't know. Now it seems petty.
All right.
It was fine and fun, and I'm ashamed I came on mic right now because I have nothing to add.
Okay, so it is available tomorrow.
Damn it, Danny. Stand up for yourself.
I know, Dan. I know.
He's just going to bully you into this. This is what's wrong with Keith's Jew-hating lyrics. He just says it so fast, and then he just comes and bullies people around, and I won't stand for it.
It's one of my favorite Danny shows. Now, I don't know if it's because we didn't let him talk or what, but I think people will like it. Also, Danny will be performing tonight at the Best of Reddit. Well, here. It's called come here. You're going to laugh. This is what he did the whole fucking show with me and Chris Laker. I'd say something. He gives off this little laugh. And so then we start getting into it. Yeah. Oh, it's a heated show.
No, I thought of something funny.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
That you pronounced the show wrong.
Go ahead.
I thought that was funny.
What? Reddit?
Yeah. It's Reddit.
Oh, is it?
You just read books.
I call it Reddit.
It's Reddit. I'm trying to... Guys, what's going on the show?
Keith, you're okay for your confusion.
Okay, thank you. Well, that was
trying to make a joke.
Danny Hatch,
Reddit stand-up show.
Are you, okay, so there's a Reddit stand-up show tonight. Yep. Danny is on it.
I'll be there.
All right, where's it going to be at, Danny?
The Creek in the Cave.
Great place.
It's a fun place.
Flouters. Creek in the Cave, 10 o'clock. These are...
10 p.m. These are great shows. I'm on with Aparna Nancharla, Victor Varnado, J.L. Covan, who have all been on the show.
Right.
It's a great lineup. I'm excited to be there.
It's free.
Free.
Sauce is awesome.
Right. Well, here's what I was going to say. They take the people that are a hit under Reddit stand-up shots, and consistently Danny gets to the number one slot. So they say, hey, why don't you do this show? Right?
It was very sweet of him. Yeah. I'm super excited.
All right.
How long's your set?
I don't know.
90 minutes.
I imagine, right?
They make you bleed out all your
material. Perfect. Because I have 6 minutes.
All right. I'm excited to hear a bunch of how you been? Where are you from?
Yeah, we're...
I don't know.
Yeah. What do you do for a living, sir?
Here's the thing.
What's your username?
Yeah.
It's crazy out there.
What's up with Reddit, guys? Right. It's like, can I get a link?
Imgur, right?
What I found out is Reddit, I didn't know what it was, and then one of my clips ended up there, and basically when someone's like, hey, you're on Reddit, they're basically like, hey, here's a bunch of YouTube comments. Why don't you read about yourself fucking hate your own jokes?
I just look at where I'm at, and that's it. I'm out.
Yeah, Redditor's punching your jokes up in the comments.
A nice surprise. His delivery, while I find it to be lackluster, could be inherited by his stage presence. Shut up.
If the OP had worded the joke differently like this, I think it would have been more successful. That's why I'm downvoting.
What's that, original poster?
Original poster. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wow. I feel stupid for knowing it. Like, I feel shitty for knowing it.
No, maybe we have you here so you could know that stuff for us.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Glad I matter.
Maybe I am that dumb football jock that likes the NFL too much.
No, Dan, no.
Danny.
Isn't that dumb? Anyway, thanks, guys.
Do you ever think about people would take you more seriously if your name was Dan instead of Danny?
I've considered that, but it's just too weird to me. I think Danny fits me.
Yeah, please no.
Yeah. I like Danny. When a guy confidently wears Danny as a Dan, I have respect for that.
Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome, Danny.
Ew. Okay.
All right.
I respect his name choice.
I respect you, Dan.
Yeah, I respect you.
You could wear Danny, but you wear Dan pretty well. I can't do Danny.
My Nana has solidified that name. She calls me Danny. That's it.
All right. So Danny's new show with me and Chris will be in VIP.
A lot of fun tomorrow.
And it'll come out tomorrow. That's right. And you know what? Dear listener, let me know if the music was too much or just right.
Thank you, dear listener.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You. Of course, signing up to VIP helps keep this show going. And I don't know if you guys know this. We've mentioned it like only once before. KeithandTheGirl.com/store. Makes it possible for you to buy VIP bucks for someone. So you'll actually get a certificate that you could either print out or send to someone else. And it'll say like, it'll be this really nice, gifty sort of thing. It's not going to be, you know, just a code that you pass along. It's beautiful. We specifically created it to look like a gift. So keithandthegirl.com/store. If you know anyone that does want VIP, Christmas is coming, Thanksgiving could be a gifting holiday, whatever, you're supporting the show and also giving a gift to someone that you know wants it.
There you have it. I mean, my goodness. So my lovely. Goodness. It can't be easier.
There's that seasonal warm, that warming feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't shun donations either here.
You know,
we don't. KeithandTheGirl.com/donate. But VIP, you know, we want people to see the shows. Danny's show, Lauren's show is out today, Micah Fox, Mike Kaplan, Keith's show, my show. You're definitely getting value for the monthly donation.
You know, it's like you guys are the Wu-Tang of podcasts and you're putting on your little homies, like the Killer Bees.
Mm, okay.
I try to look at everything through a Wu-Tang analogy. And you are definitely RZA and GZA, respectively.
Woo!
Yeah.
All right, we're not talking like their sitcom year, right?
They had a sitcom?
Yeah.
Wu-Tang in a sitcom?
Is Redman in that?
Yeah, he was.
Is Method Man in that?
In what?
No, they
Wu-Tang.
Were...
Wu-Tang.
Wait,
well, Wu-Tang, yeah, Method Man's in Wu-Tang. Redman's not in Wu-Tang.
Okay, Method Man and Redman did
Redman's
a
been a lot of... Yeah, Redman's been on a lot of Wu-Tang joints, if I could say that properly.
Mm-hmm. Was he on Das FX or something?
He was in another group called...
Tribe Called Quest.
No.
See?
I want to say EPMD.
All right, we don't know anything.
AC/DC.
Okay. Let's call the black guy again.
Yeah, God, we really whited up this conversation.
Does he say homophobic lyrics?
I know this hip hop band and this hip hop band.
I know this hip hopper pretty well. I'm gonna protest his next concert.
If people want to see where Dan Soder's performing, what do? They have to call your house?
Yeah, I'm terrible. DanSoder.com. When I update the calendar sometimes, but I'm in New York for like the next 2 months. So it's going to be great. I do Iowa State tomorrow, and then I'm back for like, you know, till the end of January.
Dan is hilarious. Whenever I do my yearly specials, I ask whoever I think the hottest guy is.
And you mean physically, correct?
I mean what I mean.
You trying to get this dick.
By the way, Dan is writing EPMD. I had to wiki it.
Is it? It is EPMD.
Yeah.
Send him my shit.
AMFM. Okay. Have a great night. We'll talk to you guys soon. Keep it. Girl.com.